All right, good morning, Crossroads. Glad for those of you joining us in this room. Glad for those of you joining us, our friends at North Kokomo. Glad to have you with us today. Those of you joining us online, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever the reason is, you're there versus here, we're glad that you're here. And before we get started with the message today, I want to talk to you just a little bit. This is a tough time for a lot of reasons, and one of the reasons that it's a tough time is because there's less activity in some of our buildings. Our North Kokomo campus is being renovated, cannot be used yet, and this campus, due to COVID issues, we don't use as much, and there's more folks online than normal, and you may have missed something. You say, well, my goodness, it's only an hour service once a week. Is that all that's going on at my church? And I would say to you emphatically, no. It is so cool to watch God's ministry still happen through this church, through you, and through you. And I would say this. I've just checked a few moments ago. There's still the boxes here, and the teddy bear boxes are filling up. And our goal wasn't to fill up the boxes. Our goal is to make sure as many kids as possible at the children's hospitals in Indianapolis have something that is placed in their hands that God can use to minister to them and their families at their time of need. So grateful for those of you that have been bringing those in. And those are like seeds. They're going to go out, and God's going to use them, and he's going to bless them, and things are going to happen. So excited about watching people here at South Kokomo carrying in supplies, carrying in presents, carrying in things for the families that we asked you to try to help a couple of weeks ago. Sure, the same thing's happening at North. And those of you online been bringing some things in during the week, grateful for that. And there are families that are going to experience more of the hands-on love of Jesus through this church because of what you're doing. That's exciting. Then our car care ministry, God's Garage, what some people are increasingly calling it, the Good News Garage, continues to have almost every week. I hear, hey, we had another car donated to us. And then maybe later in that week, hey, we've got one that we got donated before. It's been worked over, and we're able to bless this particular family or individual with it. And cars are just going through that ministry, and the community is noticing. This week, the Kokomo Perspective published a list of their finalists for Person of the Year, and our own Tom Smith, the head of God's Garage, was one of those finalists. Isn't that cool? I think that's great. That's great. And celebrate recovery. I could spend the whole message talking about that. Every Thursday it happens. Great things going on. Just last month and a half ago, we had the two-year anniversary of that. And it's a great ministry to every one of you that helps lead and pull off Celebrate Recovery. Thank you. So grateful for that. And not to mention Crossroads North Kokomo, our 116 North Main building. Renovation is happening. Every week when I get in there and happen to get by and take a look, more things are going on. And some of you have been giving. Many of you are giving. You're making possible for that to occur. Want to encourage you with this. Some of you say, I'd like to do more. Is there something else I could do? I have an answer to that question. Next weekend, Crossroads North Kokomo demo. There's some work still to be done to tear out some things. Now listen, they're not going to trust hardly any of us to build anything. They shouldn't, okay? But it doesn't take a whole lot of skill to take a hammer and tear something out, drag it over the window, throw it out the window to the dumpster. There'll be 3 days. We hope to get this done. This will save us thousands of dollars if we can do this with volunteer labor. Check our Facebook page. Check the Crossroads North Kokomo Facebook page. You'll be able to see that happen next weekend. Now, the series, as Brent said, is called Beyond the Manger. He did a great job last week with the message, talking about the Messiah and the fact he's the anointed one and the one that was promised that would come. And I loved all parts of the message except for one. There was a time he looked at us. I was up at North Kokomo, looked into the camera, seemed to be looking at me, and said, sometimes we stink. I didn't like that line at all. Maybe you didn't either, but I've forgiven him, sort of. We'll move on from that. Next week, Luke will be talking more about another aspect beyond the manger, but I want us to start the message today with a picture. This is a picture, a map of the western United States. This red line is the best depiction they have of something that is called the North American Continental Divide. Okay? It's just an imaginary line through the topography of the western United States, and this line depicts this. Anything, when moisture falls on this side of the line, It drains towards the Mississippi and eventually towards the Atlantic Ocean. Anything that drains on this side of the line, it drains towards the Pacific. And this is the line. And depending on which side of the line you are, it makes all the difference in the world. And we're talking about beyond the manger. The same principle applies. Look at this statement. The birth of the Messiah was the most important and significant event in history. It is a historical, spiritual, continental divide. Everything coming up to it flowed one way. Everything from it flows another way. And a great introduction to that for this week would be this verse. Early on in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, he said, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Through his prophet. For those of you that have been following on the Core 52 books, chapter 10 is where we'll be this week, and it's on prophecy. Very church-sounding word, prophet. Let me talk to you a minute about prophets. A prophet was God's messenger selected to share details, often not the whole story, but parts of the story that God was going to do. An important next point on this is this. They were to be forth-tellers. What is going to happen? Not foretellers. This isn't like the folks that you walk up to at the carnival and they guess your weight. This isn't like the farmer's almanac where they're trying to predict how many snows we're going to have in a winter by how thick the and color of the fur on the woolly worms. But this is somebody that God entrusted, said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen because I'm God and I know it. I'm going to do it. And they would share that detail with us. And it comes even from this word, prophet. The word prophet means, actually, the literal is to bubble up, just like something came up from inside them. The idea of uttering, of God revealing something through the prophet and saying, you can count on it, this is going to happen. And God used multiple prophets through hundreds of years of history. God, one man's account, said there's as many as 351 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, all around, centered around one phrase. He is coming. He is coming. The Messiah, the one we wanted, is coming. Our deliverer is coming. Our king that we need is coming. Every time they ended up with a bad king, they would have a prophet say, don't you worry, the king, the true king, the real king, the king of kings is coming. Every time they'd be at war, they'd say, don't you worry, the prince of peace is coming. Every time they would say somebody, sacrificing the animals for their sins. Don't you worry, God's going to send a sacrifice that's going to take away sin once for all. He is coming. And we're going to look not at all 351, but just a few of those prophecies where God used people throughout hundreds of years of history to tell us about details about that. One is about answering the question, well, who's he going to be? One of the prophecies said, before he comes, somebody else is going to come. It's going to be the one that would go before him. He'll prepare the way. He'll smooth it. He'll get it ready. You'll know who he is. And that prophecy was given in Isaiah approximately 700 years prior to the manger. There's a prophecy that says he'll be a descendant of Abraham. We'll look more at that in just a minute. There's a prophecy that says he'll come from the tribe or the family of Judah. That's the great-grandson of Abraham. There's one that says he'll be one of Jesse's son. That prophecy occurred also in the book of Isaiah. Jesse had 8 sons. And he said, well, it's going to be one out of the 8. And then there's a prophecy 300 years before that that says he'll actually come from the son that was David that became king. And it tells us that the Messiah will come from that family lineage. And going back to the Genesis 12 passage, look at this. God looked at a man 100 years old, who had no children and no hope of having one. God looked at a woman, 90 years old, barren, childless, had given up on the idea of it. And God said to them, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. That prophecy was given approximately 21 centuries prior to the manger. God said it directly to Abraham. And as we'll look in just a moment, when Jesus came, when the manger came, the prophecy was fulfilled. Not only that, it talks to us about where. Where was he going to be born? Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. We sing songs about Bethlehem. We'll look in just a moment at a verse. They sang no songs about Bethlehem in Bible days because Bethlehem wasn't worth singing about. But God said, that's going to be the town. And it was given about 600 years prior to the manger. Said he's going to spend time in Egypt. There was a discussion, debates. Rabbis would say, wait a minute, it says he's going to be born in Bethlehem, but it says I'm going to call him out of Egypt. How's he going to get from Bethlehem to Egypt? It's 250 miles apart from one from the other. What's that mean? And are one of them wrong? Prophecy there. Prophecy that says when he's born in Judea, in Bethlehem, you would think there'd be rejoicing. There will be. But there's also a prophecy about 600 years prior to the manger where it says there'll also be crying in that area. And we're going to look a little bit later about why. Here's the verse about Bethlehem. You, O Bethlehem Ephratah, you're only a small village. Stop right there. Think of any town in our community or the community wherever you're at. Think of the smallest, most insignificant town, the town you make fun of, because you say there's nothing good. Matter of fact, Nazareth was known as that. At one point when Jesus was known to come from Nazareth, the people there said, can anything good really come out of Nazareth? Bethlehem is similar. Prophecy is, you're only a small village among all the people of Judah, but the ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, they're going to come from you on my behalf. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. But if that wasn't big enough, God lays the trump card of how. Born to a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. I love the way the NLT says this. All right then. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign for every one of you that says, I'm not so sure the Messiah is coming. I'm not so sure those prophecies are going to be fulfilled. I'm not so sure this is going to. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. He's going to do something only he can do. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And she will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Clarity. The Messiah was going to come from the woman. Man was not going to contribute anything at all. The only birth in human history for that to occur. And there were if we'd had scientists in that day, if we'd had the folks that study in that day the way they do in this day, they'd say, that's not possible. God says, that's right. And I'm going to do it anyway. Virgin birth, tracing clear back to Genesis 3, where God told the woman, I'm going to take the seed of the woman and it's going to bruise the head of the serpent, which is Satan. Virgin birth declared. And joining that with all the other prophecies, all of them saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Then there was a night in a manger where the prophecy was fulfilled. And before I tell you how the message changed on that continental divide, let me tell you this story. As you might imagine, I'm a minister. I've done a lot of weddings. I have done two weddings, which I would call impromptu weddings. And when I say that, I mean 45 minutes before the wedding was to occur, I didn't even know there was a wedding. 45 minutes later, I'd not only been there, I'd conducted it and was driving away. Okay, one of those was a drive-by wedding I did here in Kokomo, where I was on a Saturday afternoon coming down what we now call 931, heading to this campus, Kokomo South Campus, coming here to have some duties on stage, hurrying through town about 4 o'clock, got a phone call. Long story short, there was a group of people gathered at the community room over at Walnut Creek Apartments. They had showed up for a wedding that was supposed to be at 2:30. They had all gathered their wedding party, guests, everything, flowers, all the decorations, everything for the reception, and the minister hadn't shown up. Come to find out later, he had an accident. He wasn't hurt badly, but he was unable to have been there. So they went ahead, had the reception ahead for a couple of hours, and they were looking for a preacher. They said, can you swing by and do this wedding? And I looked and I said, I've got just about enough time. I swung over to Walnut Creek Apartments. I came driving up in front of it. I can still see it on a September Saturday afternoon. And as I came pulling up and parked, I grabbed a Bible like this out of the seat of my van. It's all I had. I don't carry around a wedding ceremony with me just in case I might have to do one on the fly. So I grabbed a Bible thinking this will make me look like I know what I'm doing. And I started up the sidewalk. And as I came up the sidewalk, seated outside on the step outside that community center was a little boy. And he was dressed up. Later come to find out they didn't have anybody this little. He was probably elementary age, right about in here. And he was supposed to be the ring bearer. And he'd been on hold for almost 2 hours. He saw me coming. He jumps up, turns around, throws the door open, steps into the doorway, speaks to the people inside, and he said, he's here, he's here. And as I walked up, he held the door for me, and he looks at me, and he says, finally, finally, he's here, he's here. Well, that's what happened in the manger. It changed to he's here. He's not coming anymore. He's here. It's not a prophecy anymore. It's fulfilled. He's here. And let's go back and look at some of the prophecies that God gave. God said there'd be one that go before him. And a few years later, Jesus' cousin, born 6 months ahead of him, they would ask him, say, are you the Messiah? He'd say, no, I am the one that was supposed to go before him. I'm preparing the way, but he's coming. He'll be here soon. He's almost here. And a few weeks later, Jesus was baptized by John. Descendant of Abraham, Matthew has an account in chapter 1 that probably when you read about the Christmas story, you probably skip this. You probably just jump right because it's all these. This one was the father, this one was the father, this one. But he has the account to let us know when you trace the family ancestry of Joseph, and we trace the family ancestry of Mary, and Luke has a similar account in chapter 3. It tells us, yes, he was a descendant of Abraham. Yes, he was from the tribe of Judah. Yes, he was one of Jesse's sons, came through one of Jesse's sons. And yes, he came through King David. Those were all prophecies that were given. Jesus checked the box for every one of those. Then look at the where. Born in Bethlehem. You'll probably at your family gathering read the story to where Joseph and Mary traveled 90 miles through rough terrain and some dangerous territory to get to Bethlehem that night at just the right night where the contraction started and the baby was born in Bethlehem. You may go ahead and read a little later in that same, in the Matthew's account, to where one night Joseph wakes up, not because the baby's crying, but because an angel spoke to him. Said, you need to gather your young son, you need to gather your wife, and you need to get down to Egypt because Herod's going to try to kill the baby. And he went to Egypt, just like the prophecy. You can read a little bit later in Matthew, after Herod went and fulfilled his own decree and had his soldiers kill all the toddlers in that area. And it talks about, and you can imagine, can you even fathom the cry of the mothers holding their dead children in their arms? It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Look at this. The how, born to a virgin. You say, I still don't know if God could pull that off. I don't even see how that could happen. Well, look at this account from Luke chapter 1. Mary asked the angel, well, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And God says, exactly. That's what we needed. The angel replied, look, you don't need Joseph. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And the baby that's born will be holy because there will be no sin from Joseph transmitted. There'll be no genetic material coming from the man that causes him to inherit the sin of mankind that goes clear back to Adam. And he'll be called the Son of God. And when that baby was born, right in that manger, when it happened, God fulfilled the prophecy just like the other eight that I referenced in this message, just like the dozens of others. All those prophecies fulfilled. And there's links even at the end of the message. If you want to click on them, some of you later, not right now, but if you want to click on them later, there's articles that will list each prophecy, where it was prophesied, how it was fulfilled, where it was prophesied, how it was fulfilled. Those articles for those of you who'd like to study more. But I want to say something to some of you right now. You can be in this room, or maybe you're joining us somewhere else, and you're having this thought, and it's not the kind of thought you express in church. If I gave you a chance, anybody want to say this? You probably wouldn't say it. You're saying, I don't know. God predicting something hundreds of years before, and then it, I don't know. Sounds a little bit too, I'm a little bit too smart just to quite believe all that. I'm not so sure that I buy that a prophecy 2,000 years before can be fulfilled by a God 2,000 years later. 2,000 years? Why do you wait so long? I'm not so sure. Nah, I you know what? There are some folks gullible enough to believe that, but I'm not so sure I believe. And you may be one of those. And I want to tell you a story. I debated hard on this. But I want to tell you a story as true as I know it to be. Every time I stand on this platform, and when we went through a run through a little earlier before this service, every time I stand here, I have a thought that reminds me it is unbelievable that I stand here. I grew up on a farm in East Central Illinois, about 3 hours from here. I grew up on that farm. I'm the son of a farmer who was the son of a farmer who was the son of a farmer back about four generations, and expectation was I would be a farmer. I grew up wearing cowboy boots and cowboy hat, and the only boots that didn't have stuff on them that you didn't walk in the house with were the Sunday boots. And I grew up in a place that the 3.5 miles from a town that if everybody was home in that town, they would fit here at South Kokomo, and we'd still have some seats left over if you got rid of these ropes and stuff. The crowd at my church was smaller than the crowd at North Kokomo today. And I grew up as a farmer kid, going to become a farmer. And actually, when it got to be time to go to college, I thought, well, I'm not so sure I want a farmer. My mom used to work for an attorney. I think I'll go be an attorney. So I was studying and on a pre-law track. And then God got a hold of my heart. And God started telling me something. And when God would say it, I'd say, I just can't believe that. God said, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to become a pastor. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're out of your mind. I would, no way. I'm a farm kid that would like maybe to become an attorney kid. But that's all I could even imagine me being. And I didn't tell a soul. I was scared to death about it. One night I went to the home of my grandparents. My grandfather was a person that I personally trusted as much as anybody growing up. I went to them, sat down in their living room on a Saturday evening, and I said, I got to tell you this. And I told them what God was doing in my heart. I felt God was speaking to me about being a minister, about a pastor. And when I looked up through my tears, my grandparents were looking at each other, smiling. And I thought, I'm crying, you're smiling. Where's the loving grandparents that I'm supposed to have? What's going on? And they're smiling at each other. And my grandmother looks at my grandfather and said, I think it's time to tell him. And my grandfather told me a story that had occurred 23 years prior to that night. In that story, my father, before he was married to my mother, was drafted into the Navy and was going to serve in Korea. And my grandfather drove him to Indianapolis and put him on a plane to send him to San Francisco, to send him to Hawaii, to send him on to Korea. And as he was putting him on the plane, and as the plane was getting ready to take off, it was an icy, rainy morning, and my grandfather said, I went out and sat in the pickup truck, and I thought, I'm just going to pray till the plane takes off for God to take care of him. And my grandfather said, when I was praying for God to take care of my son, he said, the only time that I've ever been praying and I felt God spoke back to me, he said, God spoke to me in the pickup, and he said, I'll take care of him, and I'll get a preacher out of him. And my grandfather said, I came home, he said, I told your grandmother this story, and she and I agreed we would tell no one, and we haven't. He said, your dad came back from the war, he married your mom, he said, you were born and your brother was born, and for the last 23 years, he said, we have waited to see which one of you was going to walk through the door that God told us you'd walk through to tell us the story that you just told us. I am living proof that God can make a prophecy and can fulfill it, even though it's as unlikely as it can be. And the same thing is true about the prophecies of Jesus, which brings us to the third and final point today. We must tell. The prophets told, this is what's going to happen. The angels and the shepherds on the night of the manger told, he's here, he's here. And in this day, we must tell that he's here in a world that is so screwed up, in a world that is so lacking of hope, we know that hope is here. In a world that is so in conflict, we know that the Prince of Peace is here. In a world that needs deliverance, we know that the Deliverer is here. And we must tell. And you say, I'm not sure how to tell or what to. Here, I'm going to get as practical as I can be. Brent talked about it earlier. Take a look at this. Christmas Eve services. We will have one service on Christmas Eve Eve, Wednesday before the Friday of Christmas on the 23rd, here at South Kokomo campus only at 6:30 p.m. And then on Christmas Eve at both campuses, we will have services at 5 and at 7. And you heard the instruction about the needing to use the tickets so we can make sure we got a seat for everybody. We can spread things out or whatever else. We're going to be able to do that. And you say, what happens? What if we fill all these services up? I promise you, you commit to those tickets and bring people here, we will add services to this. So how do you tell based on that? 3 weeks from now, how do you tell? First, come and bring others to a live service. Some of you are already here and at North Kokomo, you're in a live service. You're used to coming. I would urge you, commit for Christmas Eve service, one of the services, to come. And I would say this, don't come alone. Bring somebody. Bring a neighbor. Bring a family member. Bring a coworker. Bring a friend. Invite somebody. Make sure you're not alone. We're going to have the crew that we've got putting this service together are doing their best work. I am so excited about what this service content's going to be. You come, it will be worth it. The experience here will be worth it. The experience out there will be worth it. You come to one of our campuses. Bring somebody with you. We are committing to do this. We're going to treat it as safe as we can. We're going to sanitize everything. We're going to make it. We want this to be a safe place where there's nothing that can be caught or contracted here. But we're offering that. If you're going to tell, come. If you feel comfortable, come and bring somebody with you. Second way to tell. Join us online. Host a watch party. Some of you don't come. Many of you watching right now, you don't come, and it's understandable. Some of you due to distance. Some of you due to COVID. And on Christmas Eve, we know some of you due to schedule. You just can't fit the service in to get here because you're going different places, different grandmas, whatever else, whatever it's going to look like for you this year at COVID. I would urge you, those of you with us online, I would urge you, don't watch alone. Invite somebody in. Invite somebody to join you. Find out. Let us know about how we can help you. Host a watch party on Facebook where lots of folks are all watching the same thing and you're interacting together in the comments section. or we can show you other ways. If you say, I'm not sure how to do that, we have folks that know. You have friends that need to hear. You can tell them we can't. There'll be people online that will not hear this message unless you help us tell them. So help us do a watch party. And then for some of you, we know that no matter, even though we're going to broadcast the various times we're live, and we're going to broadcast some other times, and you can check our Facebook page, and we're going to have other times we're going to be broadcast, but we know none of those work. So starting Christmas Eve morning, this service will be available on demand. Some of you maybe do a brunch with your family, and then you open presents. I would tell you, do the brunch, say, let's call a timeout, and watch about a 45, 50-minute service that tells the story beyond the manger, the fact that he's here. I would urge you to use it. Maybe you fit it in after lunch. Maybe you fit it in after presents. Whatever it is, Christmas gatherings this year are going to be so different. But one of the things you can do, we've even taken steps with our online broadcast. Hear this. We've taken steps to make it even more effective and more relatable and more like you're truly a service for you and not just watching a live service from here. Some of you live in this room, some of you live at North Kokomo, you may want to come to a live service and do the on-demand function on Christmas Day. I would urge you, we must tell. This is another way you can do it. Now let me say this, we're going to close. I'm running over time. The prophets did their part. They told. He's coming. And he did. The angels and the shepherds did their part. They told. The spotlight happened. The heavenly choir showed up. It says when those shepherds left that manger, they went and told it to everybody, everywhere, every way. They did their job. The job in this world, in our world, in our circles, in our day, is to be done. The question mark is on us. Will we tell the story that the Messiah, the hope of the world, the Prince of Peace, the deliverer from sin, the one that can stick closer than a brother, the one we've all been longing for in our hearts when you don't even realize you're longing for him. He's here, and you can have him. That's our job. Pray with me. God, you're preparing us. You're preparing things. God, there are people putting in unbelievable amounts of hours to put a church service together, both for live and for online, that will declare without any doubt that Jesus is here and he's available today. So God, help us to tell, help us to believe, and help us to tell. And help each of us to spread the news in every way you show us we can. God, don't let COVID stop us from telling the greatest story that's ever been told. So we pray for that to happen now, and we ask for you to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.